on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. Good evening. In this bulletin, Donegal County Council's micro-redress committee is to reconvene in 2 weeks' time to allow officials take legal advice on a number of issues. The HSE says there should be an easing of restrictions on maternity care. Letterkenny University Hospital, one of five maternity units in the country that aren't fully compliant with HSE regulations at present. The Taoiseach says the portal for booking COVID vaccines should be open to everyone by the end of June. Gardaí say a planned cross-border joint agency task force operation tackling rural crime today involved some drug arrests, and the Ballymurphy families in Belfast receive a letter of apology from Boris Johnson. Later in the bulletin, Kenny's here with sport. That's coming up at around 5:15, but we begin with today's meeting of Donegal County Council's micro-redress committee, and the committee is to reconvene in 2 weeks' time to allow officials take legal advice on a number of issues. Some members of the committee asked questions about the source of blocks and other materials in council-led building projects and saw changes in where those materials are coming from in some instances. The committee's chairperson, Martin McDermott, said those issues will be addressed at the reconvened meeting in 2 weeks' time.
Give us a forum to bring the concerns of the people, which is clearly there, to the executive of Donegal County Council, and that we will take them further to the minister in Dublin as well from that meeting. And we also give an opportunity for the members to stress to Donegal County Council the anger that the people have in relation to block suppliers that the council are still using. The council officials have taken that all on board. They have answered some of the questions. A number of questions that was put to them today couldn't be answered today, so we have reconvened for another meeting in 2 weeks' time to get the answers to those questions. So certainly, look, Donal, the people have spoken, and I've said that today. You know, when the people speak, I think it's incumbent on us as public representatives to stand up and listen to what they have to say.
Were the answers that people are looking for this week given? Because I know that there's a lot of questions going to the council about this. Have you had the answers that you need, or are these the issues that the council is saying, look, we'll tell you in 2 weeks' time?
I think the director of service was quite clear on a number of aspects today. The members of the committee were quite clear as well, that we feel the council have to look at this and try in some way to alleviate, you know, the concerns of the general public in relation to that. And I think the council, to be fair, are seeking legal advice on that as to how they can go about doing that and how they can go about that in a legal manner. And I think, to be fair to the council, we have to allow them that couple of weeks to do that and then come back with the answers to the members.
And that was Councillor Martin McDermott, who chairs Donegal County Council's MICA Redress Committee. The HSE says there should be an easing of restrictions on maternity care. However, five of the 19 maternity units in the country are not fully compliant with the measures at present. The units in Letterkenny, Tipperary, Waterford, Wexford and Kilkenny have cited local safety issues that are limiting pregnant women having their partners with them. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly says there are minimum standards that women and their partners should expect.
It's a minimum of a 30-minute visit per day. It's the anomaly scan, so 20 to 22 weeks. It's birth, and that includes full labour, including from when a woman might be induced. And it's visits to neonatal units. So they are the four criteria that the Chief Clinical Officer has said that the 19 maternity units need to facilitate, unless there are local reasons where it's not safe to do so. Letterkenny University Hospital, there's an issue with high COVID in the area and staff absenteeism.
Well, earlier this week, Letterkenny University Hospital said while birth and anomaly scans are being catered for, a recent COVID outbreak in the maternity ward meant some restrictions were necessary. That situation is to be reviewed next week. It's expected indoor hospitality will reopen in Northern Ireland in 11 days' time. The Stormont executive met earlier to discuss the possible easing of lockdown restrictions. It's understood ministers have agreed up to 500 spectators will be allowed at outside sporting events from the 24th of May, and indoor sports training will be allowed for teams. 99 new cases of COVID-19 were confirmed in Northern Ireland today, with one additional death, 46 patients in hospital with the virus, just three of them in intensive care. Well, just over 1.5 million vaccines have now been administered in Northern Ireland. And here, the Tánaiste says the portal for booking COVID vaccines should be open to everyone over 18 in the Republic by the end of June. Leo Varadkar walked back slightly from comments last night that everyone who wants a vaccine could have one in that time. That figure was based on 10 to 15% of the population not wanting to get a vaccination. Tánaiste Leo Varadkar says the government's target remains the same.
That 82% of adults should either have had one dose, be fully vaccinated, or have been offered a vaccine by the end of June. But what I was speaking about yesterday was the possibility of us opening the portal to all adults before the end of June, so everyone will be able to book their appointment.
Gardaí say a planned cross-border joint agency task force operation tackling rural crime took place along border counties today, involving high visibility the checkpoints and patrols on both sides of the border, with the Gardaí and PSNI working in a coordinated fashion. During the operation, Gardaí say they seized suspected cannabis herb valued at 15,500 euro and a quantity of suspected stolen property worth around 4,000 euro. One man was detained and charged in connection with the seizure. He's appeared before Cavan District Court. Two people were arrested for driving under the influence of drugs, with a quantity of cannabis seized in both cases. The cross-border joint agency task force operation included collaboration and cooperation with the PSNI, the Garda Armed Support Unit and Gardaí from the Louth, Cavan Monaghan, Sligo Leitrim and Donegal divisions. The Ballymurphy families in Belfast have received a letter of apology from the British Prime Minister. Boris Johnson expressed personal sorrow for the terrible hurt caused by the deaths of 10 innocent civilians 50 years ago. On Tuesday, a coroner found that those who died in Belfast in August 1971 were entirely innocent. The letter comes after the Northern Ireland Secretary said in the House of Commons today that the UK government is truly sorry for the events that occurred. Brandon Lewis also acknowledged the hurt caused to the families and paid tribute to them for their patience during their campaign for justice.
The Prime Minister is writing personally to the families and expresses deep regret to the First and Deputy First Ministers of Northern Ireland yesterday, and has apologised unreservedly on behalf of the state. The findings of the coroner are clear. Those who died were entirely innocent of wrongdoing. The events at Ballymurphy should never have happened.
Well, the Taoiseach will meet with Boris Johnson tomorrow in England at a lunchtime meeting at Chequers, the Prime Minister's country residence. The two leaders will discuss their response to the COVID crisis. The two are also expected to discuss a number of issues relating to Northern Ireland. That's expected to include the findings of the Ballymurphy inquest and a proposed amnesty for crimes committed during the Troubles. There's considerable anger in Downings after it emerged this week that plans for a promenade have been stalled. Donegal County Council had applied for a foreshore licence in 2016 to develop the promenade from Downings Pier to Downings Beach in 2017. Further information was requested from the council by the department. That information was submitted in 2019, by which stage the previous information had expired. To date, €20,000 has already been spent on submitting the initial foreshore licence. Local councillor John O'Donnell says extremely disappointing news because it was something that was in the offing for over a decade and now it seems to be gone.
The cost of this loan for the foreshore licence application, Greg, is €20,000, which we managed to secure from Moudaris na Gaeilge, which I'm very grateful of at the time. But unfortunately now that money is wasted again, and all the money that the Owens consultants have spent prior to that, you know. So like the exact figure, I would say, is probably somewhere in the region of 100,000. Basically, but in a nutshell, everything that we've done to date is all done in vain.
Tributes have been paid to the Derry writer and Éasca member Seamus Dean, who died this morning. He was 81. His first novel, Reading in the Dark, was nominated for the Booker Prize in 1996. He worked for many years as a teacher in the city. He was then Professor of Modern English and American Literature in UCD. He was a director of the Field Day Theatre Company, as well as general editor of the Field Day Anthology of Irish Writing. A West Donegal councillor says the launch of the new Donegal Place brand failed to encompass the county as a whole. Councillor Noreen McGarvey says she feels the launch omitted some of the most iconic landmarks in the west of the county, such as Errigal Mountain. She says more of an emphasis on Donegal's native language of Irish would also have been fitting.
And I know the council had promoted their own ambassador for the Irish language for Seachtain na Gaeilge. I just thought it would have been nice to have a native Irish speaker, you know, for a couple of focal on the thing, you know. I just felt it didn't encompass the whole of Donegal. Perhaps that wasn't what they set out to do. But as I say, as an insider, you know, watching it, I thought, no, we haven't got any kind of, you know, light over this side of the county at all on it.
A Donegal deputy is calling for serious failings in the management of what he says are notorious waiting lists in the county to be addressed. Figures show that as of December last year, 441 people in Donegal of grade 4 or 5 in severity were waiting at least 6 months for orthodontic treatment. 128 of grade 5 patients had been waiting more than 2 years for treatment. Deputy Pierce Doherty says he's received confirmation that despite new dental chairs, equipment and x-ray machine purchases for Letterkenny University Hospital, there is no room for the items there. He says there are many questions that need to be answered.
We need to get to the bottom of this here. It's not fair what's happening out there. We want to know now, while they talk about five-day services in Letterkenny, we actually want to know how often the consultant is actually present in Letterkenny to support the team there. We want to know what are the efforts that are being made to recruit additional personnel into the service.
83 Palestinians have been killed, including 17 children, after days of violence with Israel. Israel's deployed ground troops along the Gaza border amid calls for the violence to stop. A number of Dáil deputies urged the Irish government to intervene in Leinster House today. With more detail on what's been happening, here's Ben Finnegan.
The sounds of rockets last night in Gaza as the fighting continues. The UN says there's the risk of all-out war, while there's belief among some people living in the area that it's already started. Hundreds of missiles have been fired by Palestinian militants, while Israel has responded with its own airstrikes, killing as many as 10 senior Hamas military figures last night. Mark Regev is a senior advisor to Israel's prime minister. He says they're trying to bring about peace.
Our goal is to bring about long-term peace and quiet. We want to see a situation where Israeli civilians don't have to live in fear of an incoming rocket sent by Gaza.
Belle True is a journalist with The Independent based in Israel. She says the deployment of Israeli ground troops to Gaza brings the conflict closer to war.
Now, this doesn't mean that a ground invasion is necessarily going to go ahead, but it's a sort of first step towards that maybe being a possibility, which obviously would move this into the category of it being a war.
A number of US and European airlines have now cancelled scheduled flights to Israel due to the ongoing violence.
And Donegal County Council is examining a potential timeframe for moving all service cabling in the Letterkenny area underground, but it's stressing such a plan would have to be progressed in stages. Responding to a motion from Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh, officials said the Letterkenny road section is collaborating with the Urban Regeneration team on a number of schemes in the town, and associated environmental improvement works would include the undergrounding of overhead wires where possible. Councillor Kavanagh accepts it'll be a long-term project.
What I was really asking for was that we look at a plan, and maybe when there's other work specified in these areas that we try to put it in around that. It can be done, and I think there is a recognition that it needs to be done, but I'm realistic enough to know it won't happen overnight.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all your training essentials at michaelmurphysports.com.
Quarter past five, and we say good evening to Kenny Horgan.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan says the standard of officiating in this country needs to improve. He's been handed a 3-game suspension for comments made to referee Rob Hennessy in their recent defeat to Shamrock Rovers. Horgan told Highland Radio Sport that what was said to the official does not deserve the punishment he's been dealt.
Wonderful news. I think we've gone to a stage where you kind of question any decision from the referee, and we still haven't got a reason why a free kick was reversed and why there was a sending off. That's the sour taste in it. I think it's now a zero tolerance, and I've no problem going and saying this. It's gone to the stage where you're not allowed to question anything. There's no foul and abusive language. There's no jumping around. We're entitled to question as manager or coach of the team why a decision was reversed that caused a defeat against Shamrock Rovers. I've questioned it. It's totally and utterly within my right. The disappointing part is the officials refuse to speak and explain afterwards, and it's not good enough. Maybe it's not good enough for me in years gone by, but certainly against Shamrock Rovers, I was fully and absolutely entitled to question a decision for a referee that refused to speak before, during and after, and on their behalf, it's not good enough.
You can hear more from Ollie on our website, highlandradio.com, in the sports section. And of course, Finn Harps at home to Dundalk tomorrow evening, 5:45, will have full commentary of that game. Well, spectators could be allowed to attend outdoor sports events in Northern Ireland from later in May. It's understood the Northern Ireland executive at a meeting today to agree which lockdown restrictions can be lifted have agreed that up to 500 people can attend outdoor sport events as spectators from a possible date of May the 24th. Ministers will give final approval to the proposal on the 20th of May, and up to 1,000 fans could be allowed to attend the Irish Cup final at Mournview Park in Lurgan. That's on May the 21st. Well, Chelsea and Manchester City will be allowed 6,000 fans each for this month's Champions League final. The game has been moved from Istanbul to Porto's Drago Stadium due to the COVID-19 restrictions. Portugal's on the UK's green list, meaning fans won't need to quarantine on their arrival back home. And Pep Guardiola's thanked Jurgen Klopp for making him a better manager. His Manchester City team were crowned Premier League champions for the third time in 4 years earlier this week. Klopp's Liverpool beat them to the title last season. Guardiola says that pushed him to keep improving.
Jurgen, of course, it was an inspiration for me. He made me, through his teams in Dortmund and Liverpool, better manager. He made me think a lot about discover the games and the opponents and everything. So thank you so much.
Well, Liverpool, they're looking to keep up their hopes of a top four finish tonight. Jurgen Klopp's side travel to play Manchester United in the rearranged Premier League match at Old Trafford. Kick-off there's at 8:15. Before that, at 6 o'clock, Seamus Coleman's Everton, they make the trip to Aston Villa. Up in Scotland, Rangers have urged supporters to celebrate their Scottish Premiership title in a safe and sensible manner following their final game on Saturday. They'll go the whole league season unbeaten if they avoid defeat against Aberdeen. In rugby, Will Addison's season is over. The Ulster back has received a 4-game ban following his red card in last week's Rainbow Cup defeat to Munster. Addison was dismissed just before half-time of the game at Thomond Park for a dangerous tackle on Shane Daly. And for tomorrow's Rainbow Cup clash with Leinster, Ulster have retained only 3 of the players which started last week's loss to Munster, with Irish internationals Billy Burns, Jacob Stockdale and Ian Henderson all set to start at the RDS. Keelan Doris returns to the Leinster back row. Jamie O'Brien is named at fullback, having recovered from injury. And Matt Gallagher will make his first start for Munster since November. And tomorrow night's game with Connacht, Tom Daly, he'll captain Connacht. In athletics, Mark English will continue to chase Olympic qualification in the Czech Republic next week. The Finn Valley athlete will run the 800 metres at the Ostrava Golden Spike event on Wednesday, the 19th of May. The 3-time championship medalist will also run in Belfast 10 days later at the Irish Milers meet. In golf, Seamus Power's just a shot off the lead on the opening round of the Byron Nelson Classic. The Waterford man's 5-under par with 4 holes to play. Patrick Harrington's just a shot worse off on 4-under. Ben Martin and Rafa Cabrera-Barro, they are jointly in the lead in Texas on 6-under par. And in the European Tour, Paul Dunn remains the best of the Irish on day 2 of the British Masters. The Greystones golfer is currently on 3-under par. That's 4 off the clubhouse leader, Richard Bland. A second round 69 leaves Jonathan Caldwell on the cut mark of 1-over par. And in cycling, a third place finish in today's sixth stage has seen Dan Martin move up into the top 10 in GC at the Giro d'Italia. The stage itself was won by Gino Medair. The pink jersey holder is Attila Valter. Well, finally for this evening, later on we'll have the score just after the 7 o'clock news. Oisin Kelly will be joined by Declan Boyle ahead of this weekend's League of Ireland Premier Division ties. We'll also hear from county managers Declan Boner, Fergal Logan and Rory Gallagher as the North West sides begin their National Football League campaigns. And Brian Brogan of the Donegal Motor Club, he's the chairman, he pays tribute to Danny Gormley. That's the score this evening just after the 7 o'clock news. So back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Well, as it's a Thursday, it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be talking with Inishowen-based Henry O'Donnell of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association in relation to peatlands and cap proposals. But first, 13 Donegal farmers are among 317 nationally who have applied to convert to organic farming under the Department of Agriculture Organic Scheme. scheme. The junior agriculture minister, Senator Pippa Hackett, said that if all those who applied are eligible and go ahead and convert, there will be an increase of more than 20% in the number of farmers who will farm organically in Ireland, supported by the department's scheme. However, the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association Organics Chair, Fergal Byrne, has said that the fact that the scheme has been undersubscribed in the latest call for applications must serve as a wake-up call that more needs to be done to entice farmers to switch to organic methods. He said the department had hoped to attract between 400 and 500 farmers into the scheme rather than the 317 applications that have been received. Well, next Tuesday at 11 o'clock, Teagasc will host another Farm Business Options webinar, which will feature news, views and interviews on various topics. Agricultural technology has made huge leaps forward over the past number of years, and Tuesday's episode of Farm Business Options will have a discussion on the best apps in agriculture, agri-innovation and the supports available to develop new farm technologies. The host is Barry Caslin of Teagasc. Well, last month, the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association expressed concerns over the potential detrimental effects of a European Council proposal on the management of peat-based soils. However, many of the fears have now been allayed, and this will be good news for Donegal farmers affected. Donegal's Henry O'Donnell is a member of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association's National Council, and he's been telling me more.
I suppose from an INHFA perspective, we're delighted to be where we are at the moment, and at this time 5 years ago or more, when the last cap was being finalised, we weren't in existence and we had no idea what was coming. Whereas this time we have been deeply involved in keeping an eye on policy, how it develops in Europe and indeed at home. And we feel we have a very valuable input to make to it, and obviously trying to represent our farmers as best possible. One of the areas that has come up is the whole area of wetlands and peatlands are being given much more prominence now due to their ability to capture and sequester carbon, which is so much discussed at the moment because of climate change mitigation. So we have seen some of the regulation that's coming down the line, and more specifically there's one part of it, it's a good environmental and agricultural condition standard, which is specifically for wetlands and peatlands. We have looked at this in great detail, and we were very concerned because we could see that there was a mechanism being developed here which could effectively sterilise peatlands, and as you know, we have so much of that on the Western Seaboard and in Donegal. And this sterilisation could mean that farmers wouldn't get their basic payment on this land, or that they wouldn't get an ANC payment on it, or indeed they mightn't have access to environmental schemes on this land. So we have brought this to everybody's attention, both at home with our own Department of Agriculture and Minister, and also in Europe through some of our MEPs, and indeed directly with the people involved in drafting this regulation. I'm very glad to say that we have had some very good engagement with the officials at EU level, and indeed they have conceded that they recognise that we were right, that there is concerns here for farmers on these type of lands, and that the draft regulations are flawed, and we're hoping that through our influence that these regulations will be changed to ensure that these lands are protected and that payments continue on them. Now, I do know at home we have been accused of scaremongering on this, but I'm glad to say that in recent days EU officials have actually conceded that we were right, and that the regulations do need amending. The next argument is going to be as to how they amend them, so we're still very much engaged in that. And we have been looking for our Donegal Minister for Agriculture to come in and support us on this.
So by way of example, for many Donegal farmers, what can we expect realistically?
Realistically, we hope to get an amendment to the regulation which will concede that all these peatlands and wetlands remain agricultural area. And that would mean that payments are protected on these lands, and hopefully in the long term, more payments actually directed to these lands, because they are so important for biodiversity and for carbon capture and sequestration. So we actually have a valuable asset in these peatlands. But our objective here is that that's recognised and that we're rewarded for good agricultural practice that's not damaging these lands. So hopefully something positive will come out of it. But it's quite complex for the ordinary farmer to try and understand. But thankfully, we have some very good people here that have engaged very deeply in the fine detail of these regulations. And I'm hopeful at this stage that we get some kind of a positive resolution. Now, there's a lot of other stuff on CAP actually ongoing at the moment that's very important as well. As you know, one of the key reasons INHFA was formed was because of the unfairness we see in the current CAP. We're hoping to try and influence that some of that will be ironed out in the next CAP as well. So there's a lot of discussions around eco-schemes and convergence of payments, and we're hopeful that we'll get positive results on that as well.
Also, Henry, just while you're on, maybe you can update us on some of the pilot projects that you've been directly involved in the Inishowen area over the last few years.
Yeah, well, our Inishowen Uplands European Innovation Partnership is still ongoing, and our participants are developing these measures on their farms currently, and hopefully now, whenever our movement restrictions are eased, we'll be able to get our demonstration farm opened up to all farmers to see some of the activity we were at. One thing I would say is we feel very vindicated when we see some of the details of the new REAP scheme being introduced, and one of the main pillars of that is the use of diverse swards. So we're very happy that we were a bit ahead of our time, and we have more diverse swards established in Inishowen probably than a lot of the rest of Ireland put together. So obviously the department has been taking note of what we're doing up here, so that's very positive. And another aspect is agroforestry and planting trees, again an integral part of the REAP scheme. So as I say, our objective for this year now is to let the general public and farmers come and see what we have actually developed here and have a conversation with us about how this would work on all farms in Donegal. So,
and where will this demonstration farm be?
We have one of our participants who has actually adopted all the measures of our project on his farm, has a farm in Redcastle, and we will be making efforts to open that up for open days or open evenings, or depending on how the restrictions are, maybe we'll just take groups of interested parties at a time. So hopefully that will happen over the summer, or definitely at the end of the summer. So, looking forward to that.
So in conclusion, there is good reason to be optimistic going ahead.
If you go back to the CAP negotiations, there's quite a positive element to it coming from Brussels, where the EU actually want farmers to get more convergence, and they want all farmers to be paid at the same rates in Europe. And the key point here is the majority of farmers in Ireland will benefit from convergence.
And that was Henry O'Donnell, a member of the National Council of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association. Just before we go, the IFA has intensified its CAP campaign with the publication of its 6 key objectives policy document. And the association is hosting a series of regional CAP meetings over the next fortnight. The Ulster North Leinster meeting, which Donegal farmers can log on to, will be on Monday, May the 24th. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thanks very much indeed, Chris. Well, the forecast and scattered showers will continue into the evening with the showers becoming more isolated later, becoming mainly dry in most areas with clear spells and just a few isolated showers. Lowest overnight temperatures 2 to 6 degrees Celsius in light westerly or variable breezes. Mist and fog will form in near calm conditions overnight. Some pockets of fog becoming dense towards dawn. Tomorrow morning we'll see mist and fog clearing quickly. It'll be mostly dry to start with sunny spells, but scattered showers will be develop, becoming widespread later, turning heavy with risk of hail and thunderstorms in some spot flooding in places. Cloud building from the southwest later in the afternoon and evening in highest temperatures of 12 to 15 degrees Celsius. Light southerly winds tomorrow. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Looking at the headlines, in Donegal County Council's micro-redress committee is to reconvene in 2 weeks' time to allow officials take legal advice on a number of issues. A number of members asked questions about the source of blocks and other materials in council-led projects and sought changes in where those materials are coming from. The committee's chairperson says the issues will be addressed at the reconvened meeting in 2 weeks' time after the council gets the appropriate advice. The HSE says there should be an easing of restrictions on maternity care across the country. 5 of the 19 maternity units including Letterkenny University Hospital, are not fully compliant with the measures. The hospital says that's because of a recent COVID outbreak and the situation is being reviewed next week. Meanwhile, indoor hospitality is expected to be reopened in Northern Ireland in 11 days' time. We're back with news again at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 13th of May. The sudden death has taken place in Birmingham of Eddie Kane, formerly of Grahamsland, Castle Finn. Cremation taking place in Birmingham with Eddie's ashes being brought home at a later date. The death has taken place of Danny McNamee, 30, Gallen Road, Newton Stewart. Danny's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday to St Eugene's Church, Lennock, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only, please. Funeral Mass will be streamed live on youtube.com/dergmedia. All inquiries to Paul Gallagher, Funeral Director, Newton Stewart. The death has taken place of Josie McGill, Station Road, Glenties. Removal from Shovelin's funeral home, Sandfield Ardra, at 12 noon tomorrow, going to Hugh Gerd and Fiona Gallagher's residence, Station Road, Glenties. Removal from there on Saturday to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the local cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Glenties. Family flowers only, please, donations if desired, to the Glenties Daycare Centre or Killybegs Community Hospital, care of any family member or James McGuinness and Sons funeral directors. The death has taken place of Jimmy McGlinchey, 162 Laurel Drive, Strabane, formerly of Newton Kennedy Street, Strabane. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St Columba's Cemetery, Donnyloop. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley funeral directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, mcnmedia.tv/camera/Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. The death has occurred of Kieran O'Connell, 8 Barnhill Park, Letterkenny. Kieran's remains are reposing at his late residence. Requiem Mass on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock in St Eunan's Cathedral with interment afterwards to Conwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Irish Cancer Society Daffodil Centre, Letterkenny, care of any family member or Con MacDade and Sons funeral directors. Funeral Mass can be viewed on stunanscathedral.ie. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Ellen Campbell, née Deveny, London and formerly of Carnamugga, Letterkenny. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny at 11 o'clock. It can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Interment afterwards in Cranny Road Cemetery, Frosses. In compliance with government and HSE guidelines, the funeral is private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. And the death has taken place of Paddy Doherty, late of Abbey House and formerly of Limewood Street, Derry.
Funeral tomorrow morning at 11 in St Eugene's Cathedral, Derry, with burial afterwards in the city cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed live on the St Eugene's Cathedral webcam. Due to government guidelines, funeral and interment are private to family only, please.